Okie dokie schmokily. Are you ready for us to go, JDM?
Yes. Go for it. Hey, hey, let's go! Bricks in the end zone. Come on, let's go!
Hello and welcome to Brits in the End Zone. We are off the back of week one in the NFL. Very exciting times. Even more exciting is that we are without Greeny and Charles. So we are
best
with
news of the day.
Well, there you go. We're with JP, regular, and Christian, who's becoming a regular, becoming a bit of a regular. Welcome back, Christian. Good to have you here.
Is Christian moving to London? That's what I want
to
know.
For the podcast, maybe.
Just the podcast?
For other things, potentially. For relationships, for life in general.
Romance is blossoming.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it there because I got in a lot of trouble last week from said girl. We're going to talk about NFL, we thought, on this podcast this week. So we're going to kick off with question of the week from Frank, which is, what's your biggest takeaway from week one? My biggest takeaway was that Travis Kelce and Deshaun Watson really upset me because they did really bad. My quarterback, Deshaun Watson, was on like minus points until like the fourth quarter.
He still won. You beat Green.
No, I know, but
that's the biggest takeaway.
My takeaway was actually Travis Kelce, who I was a big fan of last year. I took this year. Now with Tyreek Hill and the fact that he hasn't got the other guy thrown to him, Alex Smith, who liked him, is he as much value this year? That was my takeaway. It was a worry. What were your takeaways?
I mean,
you're both just astounded by that takeaway.
My takeaway, the big game that I watched, being a Colts fan, I obviously watched the Colts-Bengals match, and the big thing that I noticed was how good Joe Mixon looked. And not only did he look fantastic when he touched the ball, but he got so much work. In my mind, you know, that's fun to see if you like great talent, but from a fantasy perspective, that's really awesome because it's all about the volume. If you have a wide receiver, you're looking at the targets. How much does the team want to? Because that's the opportunity.
And I have written down Joe Mixon / Jordan Howard are true RB1s.
True RB1s, yeah. So that's what I was going to say. Yeah, Joe Mixon, we were a little worried, like, is he going to be able to show the efficiency? And is he be able to get the opportunity to work? Or is Bernard going to swing in and get an opportunity? And Bernard played, like, five snaps. He got, like, two touches. Mixon dominated that game. And it wasn't exactly, like, game script dependent because that game was competitive the whole way.
So, yeah, he was just in there the whole time and looked really good. Really good. I mean, Mixon and Howard being true RB1s was one of my takeaways, but I thought Christian might jump in there. So I've got a backup.
Go on, hit us with a backup.
The Giants are idiots for passing on Darnold. That's my big takeaway. Okay. Barkley is obviously great. We know he's great, but he's a running back. And Darnold, I mean, his first ever throw in the NFL was a pick six, which
that's an unfortunate way to
unfortunate,
kick himself.
But turned it around. It kind of made his performance even more impressive. He's a rookie. He's the youngest ever starting quarterback.
In week one.
And he just looks NFL ready. And he led the Jets to a blowout win over a much fancied Lions team. And could be this franchise QB the Jets have been looking for years.
Fantastic.
The Jets are scared of the word franchise after Mark Sanchez. You know, it's like one of those like words you're not allowed to say. But Darnold looked incredibly impressive. We saw this in the preseason, and the biggest difference maker, you know, we know he can make the throws, but it was his decision-making skills and his ability to break down what the defense was showing him really quickly. And he saw that because you saw no indecision when he's making the throws. He's looking at the first wide receiver, not open. Back to the second, it's good, throw immediately. Everything's very fast, and he looks like a veteran back there, and that's exactly what you want to see from your rookie quarterback.
I think you compare that to sort of like second-year Trubisky, where he looked good in the first half against the Packers, but suddenly in the second half when they were under pressure, you could see that he was panicking. His eyes were everywhere. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't have a game plan. And Darnold just looked great compared to that.
Trubisky's a really weird quarterback, and you can see this if you ever like dive into the, you know, they'll throw some stats at you during the game, and I saw a really weird stat from yesterday's game. All of his passes, with the exception of one, were to the right or middle of the field. He threw once to the left, and I don't necessarily think it has to do with coverage. I've heard this about him before.
Surely it'd be easier to throw left as a right-handed quarterback. You're kind of cutting across your body, no?
So that's actually something that they don't want you to do.
Don't tell that to Derek Carr after his interception yesterday.
Or, I mean, honestly, Darnold kind of did that on his pick, too, where he's throwing across the field. But, you know, if you're throwing to the left side of the field, you're supposed to be turning your body and facing that. But Trubisky, you always talked about him last year, and you thought, you know, rookie quarterback, he has mistakes. He was only using the center of the field. And it still hasn't changed. I mean, that's kind of, you know... That's my worry about him.
Okay, interesting insight there. All right, well, let's carry on talking a bit more about what we saw this week. The Browns, JP, picking up a draw, better than a loss. So gutting to come so close against the Steelers, but kind of typical Browns, really.
Only the Browns could put an end to their losing streak whilst extending their winless run.
with a draw.
I mean, it
wasn't incredible, though.
Definite positives. I mean, I think it was in the third quarter, they kind of looked down and out. They were 14 points down. They managed to turn that around, take the game to overtime. They had the chance to win it with the field goal that got blocked. I mean, in a game where, you know, the weather was all over the place, it's a brand new roster. The defense looked impressive. They turned the ball over 6 times, which should lead to a win. I mean, the Steelers only turned over once. There's some crazy stat where in games where teams have turned the ball over 5 more times than the other team, I think there's been 134 wins, 4 losses and 1 tie. And the Browns have contributed 2 of those losses and 1 of the ties.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous, that stat. But anyway, focus on the positives, I think. It's not a loss.
Definite positives
against a good team as well.
And the Steelers are going to be up there. They're always in the playoffs. Mm. So avoiding defeat, it's a step in the right direction.
Absolutely. And what about the Packers? Actually going on to get the win, the comeback with Aaron Rodgers injured. JP, what are we saying about that?
I think that game might be the best game of the season. I don't think we're going to see a better game than that. It was incredible.
Wow, I haven't even seen the highlights of that game. I need to go and watch it. That's one of the few I've not seen.
The Bears took a big lead. Rodgers got injured towards, I think, the end of the first half.
He still posted some pretty good fantasy points. Well, I know that being playing against someone who owned him.
He got carted off. Everyone's, writing off the Packers season. Mm. Rodgers is out. Jimmy Graham's not going to do anything. Devontae Adams can't do anything. The Packers might as well just pack up and go home.
Yeah.
Pack up and go
very
home.
Good.
Rodgers appears at the start of the second half. You can imagine Lambeau going absolutely
wild. Is he okay now?
Well, he played most of the second half on one leg and was still by far
the way
the best.
Only Aaron Rodgers can do.
Yeah,
it was incredible watching him. He was throwing dimes left, right, and center. Some of the
I saw one in particular, which
to
was
Geronimo
ridiculous.
Allison.
Yeah, I saw I that. That one was.
And Rodgers single-handedly won that game.
So will he be back next week? Is he fine? Is that what the word is?
He said he's going to play.
Okay.
But Darius Geis also said that in preseason TBC. And was out. For
I saw some tweets saying that they might pick up Brogan Roback from who was cut by the Browns.
I can't believe they cut him after that wild week 4 preseason game.
And his girlfriend with such genuine support. Anyway,
genuine tears.
Yeah. Genuinely lovely woman. So Rodgers, another quarterback. Christian, this is your territory. Andrew Luck, he's back. Looking good?
Yeah, Luck looked great. And, they continued that... that strategy that they were showing in the preseason with lots of fast throws that that were thrown underneath, he was hitting Ryan Grant and the tight ends a lot. That also had a lot to do with the game plan. They were missing their left tackle, Costanzo, for the first time. And I don't know if you've ever seen the Bengals, but they can pass rush like nobody's business. So the only way to keep Luck upright would be these short passes. And he looked fantastic. The velocity was good. The accuracy was good. I think he completed like 72% of his passes, and he threw like 63 of them. So
yeah, that's a pretty good game.
One of the things I loved about Luck's performance is that he put his body on the line. He's been out for so long.
Yeah, off the back of an injury,
could imagine, being a bit scared, a bit worried of getting those hits. But there was one scramble we took where he ran for 7-8 yards and took a massive hit.
Terrifying.
Where the guy actually got thrown out the game.
Oh, really?
It was a helmet to helmet, but Luck was willing to put his body on the line, and he got that hit and he got up and was fine. And I think once he had that, he knew he was okay.
Cool. Okay, so Andrew Luck back. I'm going to kind of flick through some of the other highlights, but shout, jump in if you want to talk about anything. But other highlights, there was obviously the big delay in Miami due to lightning strikes, kind of a 2 hour plus delay. And then we had, well, you talk about a great game with the Packers, the Bucks and Saints game was pretty mental straight away, kind of a very high scoring game. And then we had one of the games I saw a lot of, which was, is it Patrick Mahomes or who kind of went off with Tyreek Hill. Hill just a monster fantasy performance and generally just incredible to watch. He's so quick, very
Hill
exciting.
Hill and Alvin Kamara, I think, are two most exciting players to watch in the game.
Both playing in high-scoring games. And then you've already mentioned Darnold. We were kind of wanted to cover the fact that he starts with a pick six, but obviously has a big win. So those are kind of some of the big bits of it, news from week one, but also some other things like Le'Veon Bell still nowhere to be seen. What's the latest on that? Do we think is he back for week two or?
I don't think so.
Okay,
I don't think so. So obviously Steelers fans are hoping so, or maybe not so much now after seeing what Connor can do. But I think he's in it for the long haul.
The way you say Connor is so much
Connor,
better than it.
Connor. Heartbreaking for Bell owners in fantasy, though. We like to talk about fantasy football. That's...
If I was going to throw it out there when he's coming back week 10.
But you haven't drafted Bell without taking Connor as a backup, surely.
Did Greeny do that?
Who could possibly make that mistake?
He did not.
So who's got Connor in our league?
Jonathan his brother. Green.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
And he faced me this week, and he left him on the bench.
Oh, dear.
And lost.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Not
don't want to do
Greeny
that.
Greeny brothers.
Don't want to do that. Start Connor. But okay. So Bell's coming back week 10, and here's why. He's already lost his first paycheck. He's in the middle of making a statement, and he obviously doesn't. I think it's what $873,000 he loses per game. That's not what he's trying to accomplish. He's trying to get that multi-year contract, and if he comes back week 10, he can still what's called accrue a season, so it allows him to become a free agent. If he waits longer, then he won't be able to become a free agent.
Okay, well, we'll have to keep an eye on that.
I was just going to say, we know Bell is obviously an elite running back, but the way that sort of D'Angelo Williams a couple of years ago performed, and now Connor's performed in that system,
is it the team that's kind of
is? Yeah, what do you think it is? Is it that offensive line? Is it the scheme? Is it what is it?
It's the run blocking definitely comes into it. They have arguably the best guard in football, David DeCastro, who had a ridiculously good game. Obviously, it was I like to throw out these weather games, because there's so many different variables. But the line and the blocking scheme definitely come into it. Also, James Conner has some talent. I don't want to put it completely on the scheme, but
no, it's a factor that it's important to kind of bear in mind, I guess. You don't want Big Bell up too much. Okay, some injuries. Week one, obviously big fantasy implications. Delaney Walker, the tight end for the Titans, fractured ankle, out for the season. So if you own him, you'll be needing to go to the wire for a new tight end. Greg Olsen, another tight end this time for the Carolina Panthers. He's re-injured his foot. He's on crutches. So is that the end of his season by the looks of things?
Well, it's the same foot he hurt last year.
Yeah, so it's not looking good, is it?
Yeah, he could be out for a while.
So if you've got a healthy tight end, you're in a good position. Doug Baldwin from the Seahawks, out for 2 to 4 weeks, potentially longer. So again, that's got implications for the next few games.
Christian wanted to make sure to let everyone know it's a grade 2 partial MCL tear.
Good. Okay, sorry.
For the doctors, everyone knows the MCL.
Okay, cool. And then Leonard Fournette from the Jags, hamstring injury, is that something he's had throughout high school?
Just injuries generally.
Just generally an injury.
Plagued him through high school, college.
I think it was two games last year that he missed. I don't know the injury offhand, but it always seems to be something.
And we don't have Charles here to argue against
it. Fantastic. So that's how long is that him out for with the hamstrings? Is that a month kind of gig, or is that
definitely, I would not, definitely not a month. This is not usually something that takes people out for a long time, but it can tend, like hamstrings tend to nag. So
I think he'd be that annoying one where it's constantly day to day or week to week.
So he's going to lose practice time. You know, you're going to have to be constantly watching Wednesday, Thursday. And if you have one of those players who you're not sure if he's going to play, the practice to look out for is Friday. If he doesn't practice Friday, chances are he's not playing, because that's the day that the teams go through their game script. And if you miss that,
you're not
going to be ready.
Charles obviously picked up Yeldon, though, in the draft. No?
Oh, did he not?
No, he didn't.
Charlesy. I like this. We can just bash their drafting techniques while they're not here. Okay, so we're going to... Oh, wait. Is there anyone off the wire that you think we should be picking up? If you've tight ends specifically, if your tight end's gone down, if you own Greg Olsen, you might have taken fairly early on, or Delaney Walker, who are you looking to pick up?
There's one I think that will sort of definitely be on majority of people's waiver wires, and it's the Cardinals tight end, Ricky Seals-Jones. He didn't actually have a big week, so I don't think a lot of people will be after him. I think he only had one or two catches, but he was targeted six times, and he was on the field for, I think, 98% of snaps. And for your tight end, that's, one of the biggest things. You just want them on the field there. You want them to have those opportunities.
Also, he's going to have a massive, massive week two, because the only way to attack this indestructible Rams defense is by going after their linebackers. And that means throwing to your running backs, throwing to your tight ends, all trying to be covered by the linebackers.
That's what the Raiders did, and Jared Cook had a huge game.
Exactly. Yeah, so I expect Arizona to try to attack Rams in week two the exact same way. Throw to David Johnson, throw to Chase Edmonds, throw to Ricky Seals-Jones, because everyone else is going to get absolutely clobbered.
Okay, and anyone else from the wire that you want to kind of quickly mention? Is there anyone that we should be looking out for?
I wouldn't pick him up right away, but keep your eye out for Jonnu Smith. This is Jonnu Smith. He's a tight end for the Titans. He was actually there.
Delaney Walker out.
Yeah, he's a third-round pick from the 2017 draft, and is one of these athletic freaks who didn't really get much of a chance to shine. We know how dependable Delaney Walker is. This is a team, the Tennessee Titans, with maybe kind of limited options. You have Corey Davis out there. What do we really have with Taywan Taylor or Sharp? So there's an opportunity for Jonnu Smith, with this amazing athletic background, to step in and be a factor. So I don't think you should pick him up yet, but he's someone you should keep your eye out for if he starts looking for getting some targets.
Definitely. And just one wide receiver to keep an eye on, that something really stood out to me from last night's games, was Kenny Golladay. He was a rookie wide receiver last year, and he had 12 targets. I think he went for over 100 yards and just looked really good.
Wow. Okay. Cool. Good tips there. All right, we're going to play For Real or No Big Deal now. So this is looking at big performers from week one, and I'm going to kind of point out a few at each position, and you're going to say, are they for real, or is this kind of a bit of an anomaly? So let's start with Fitzmagic, Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Bucks. 45 points in fantasy, huge amounts. JP, is this, should people be dropping their Tom Brady's and their Deshaun Watson's for Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I think the magic stardust is going to disappear. The Saints was supposed to be a tough game, but he's got a tough run in with the Eagles, the Steelers and the Bears coming up, and I don't think we see any repeat of that.
Okay, and then what about Patrick Mahomes, the other kind of star quarterback who stood out, Christian, from this week?
Oh, yeah. Invest in talent, baby. Patrick Mahomes. Some people were scared of him. They have a tough schedule. But look at the kid. He's an absolute superstar. I don't care if he's coming off a big game. Hold on to Mahomes. Get Mahomes off the waiver wire. Get this guy into your
lineup. And also, you've got to be thinking, if Tyreek Hill's going to perform well and Travis Kelce's going to perform well, then that's going to require him to be picking up some points. So, he's got there for the taking. Okay, Adrian Peterson, someone I picked up kind of mid to late in our draft. JP, is he had a good week?
For real, he is looking good. And if you remember, he was my banker from last week. And I think he could...
pat myself on the back there a little bit.
You're doing your Charlesy bit there.
Absolutely. if he gets... the big thing was his receiving yards.
Yeah, he was catching
the
ball.
He was looking good, and... if he stays healthy and they use him that way, you've got a high-end RB2 Fringe RB1 player.
Both their running back. I mean, I've got him and Chris Thompson in my fantasy team.
On your
bench. Both picked up points. Chris Thompson was on the bench. AP, I played. Could you play them both this week? You know, if you've got them both in your team, is it
worth it? It's the new Ingram and Kamara.
I mean, week two is a great matchup for both running backs. They're facing the Indianapolis Colts, who, if you remember, bend don't break. They're giving up good runs to running backs, short passes
Joe Mixon
to running backs and tight ends. Exactly. Joe Mixon destroyed them. But after week two, things start getting a little bit more difficult. And if AP has a massive game, it might be worth looking out there and saying, who needs a running back?
Who wants a little trade?
Adley scribbling down notes.
I'll be doing that. It's all been noted. Okay, looking at wide receiver, DeSean Jackson, Christian, had a huge week. Did he then get injured?
Yeah, he's a little concussed.
Right, okay.
A little concussed.
Come back from that.
We know what DeSean Jackson is. You know, this is how he works. He's a split end who runs that go route that you know, he's out on the edge and just goes straight to the end zone and tries to beat everybody with his incredible speed. And he's a talented guy and has an important role on that team for spreading out the defense, but he's not someone that you can rely on a day-to-day basis, especially with a guy like Chris Godwin coming out and maybe threatening for his target share.
Okay. Randall Cobb, JP?
Cobb... It's a tough one. If Rodgers is fit and healthy, I think he's for real. Wasn't so sure during the preseason. They were looking to trade him.
A couple of years ago, he was a monster fantasy player.
Yeah, no one quite knew what his role was going to look like this year. But, I mean, a 75-yard touchdown helps. But
that'll do it.
No, I think he's the real deal now.
Okay. Kenny Stills, Christian. See the Dolphins?
Everyone in fantasy has been, you know, drumming the Kenny Stills is underrated drum. And I'm still not completely on board. You know, this is a guy who plays a similar role traditionally to DeSean Jackson. He takes the top off the defense. He's supposedly the number one target in Miami. How many targets did he get in week one in a very competitive game? Five. This is your RB one. Excuse me, wide receiver one.
Okay.
It's just not something that excites me.
Okay. And then what about Jared Cook, looking at tight ends?
I mean, he was the tight end one for the week, had a bigger game than Gronk. But for me, it's no big deal.
No.
I think he was targeted heavily by Carr, by the Raiders, as they wanted to avoid the Rams' cornerbacks. You know, they've got Tlaib and Peters, two studly cornerbacks, and use the tight end in the middle of the field. So, looking ahead to the season, I think that's Cook's by far his biggest game of the year.
Okay, and Eric Ebron, Christian?
Ebron? Yeah, so
I don't know how you say this name. I've been battling with this all year.
Oh yeah, it's Eric Ebron. Now,
Ebron, okay.
For maybe somebody in a slightly deeper league, you've been kind of wondering this question: what's the tight end situation with the Colts? You got Jack Doyle. He was the tight end 8 last year, getting like 120 targets. Ebron comes in. What's going to happen? Well, we saw a little bit week one. Jack Doyle played 94% of the snaps and ran 55 routes. On the other hand, you had Ebron, 43%, half of the snaps, and then also half of the routes. Ebron is the complementary player, and he seemed to have a big night because he went off and got that touchdown. I think he plays an important role for the Colts to win games with that added element, but he's not someone who's going to be a consistent producer for any team.
Okay, like it. Time for halftime snacks and a quick mention for our sponsor Zing Zing, best Chinese in the whole of the UK, and you can use the code 20bytes for 20% off. Well, sadly, no Greenie, so no top three towns, so we're going to have to skip that. But
he did actually send me his top three town, but it was so bad. I think we'll leave it.
Greenie is currently at home being sick, I believe. He had a stag in Vegas, so he's throwing up. I was going to make up some sort of really insulting big lie, but I felt like he's suffering enough. And for those of you who are wondering where Charles is, he's on honeymoon in Bali, the lucky devil. So that's where they are. But back to the more important people, a.k.a. us. Time to play a game from last season, which was banker, tanker, and cheeky wanker for week one. So a banker is someone who will outperform their expectations in week two. Tanker is someone who will underperform their expectations. And the cheeky wanker is someone who would not normally start, but you should put in your team because they're going to pick up some big results this week. So we've all got to kind of come up with a suggestion. Christian, do you want to give us your banker, tanker, cheeky wanker picks?
Yeah. Again, not going with the massive surprise, guys. I'm going to throw down as my banker, James Conner.
Okay, makes sense.
Bell's out again, and I remember looking at the matchup and just pulling it. Now they're facing Kansas City. Kansas City was ripped apart by Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler in week one. They really are not in any sort of position to stop a number one offensive line like the Steelers. I think Conner's going to run away with it. For my tanker, I'm actually taking Devontae Adams.
Okay.
All right. Devontae Adams should be scared because I'm scared of, or maybe the other way around. I'm scared, so Devontae Adams should be scared of Xavier Rhodes. After Patrick Peterson, he's arguably the best cornerback in football. He's going to be, and he's a shadow cornerback. I think he's going to be all over Devontae Adams. And I understand that he has touchdown upside in an Aaron Rodgers-led offense. He's just not someone who I think is going to be in the top 10 for wide receivers. And for my cheeky wankers, plural, Washington running backs.
Oh, hello. Good.
Washington running backs. I think both guys, and, you know, of course, they're coming off great games. They repeat.
Good. That's what I like to hear. I might have to start them both, you know. I might have to throw out my Agbon Lahore flex position. Okay, JP, who have you got?
I've gone for Christian McCaffrey as my banker. I think he's going to be the overall running back one this week.
Ooh, okay.
Falcons give up the most catches to running backs, and no one catches the ball more out the backfield than McCaffrey. And with Greg Olsen going down injured as well, it's just opening up more targets. So McCaffrey, RB1 this week. My tanker, I'm going for Derrick Henry. If, you know, Mariota picked up an injury that we didn't mention before, Titans could easily be playing from behind. And that means more Deion Lewis on the field. And that's what happened quite a lot this week against the Dolphins. And for my cheeky wanker, Brandon Marshall. Remember him?
Oh, he looked quite good, man.
He got a touchdown. He had six targets, and with doubled
six targets and 0 yards of separation.
But with Doug Baldwin going down injured, Wilson's gonna have to throw the ball to someone. Marshall's gonna get in that end zone again.
Okay, good tips. I haven't actually prepared for this, so what I could do
looking
is
looking forward to this even more now.
So I could make them up on the spot, or we could kind of gloss over it. Your choice. Depends how
give
much
us,
you want.
Us a,
I definitely
give us a
want you to wake it. Yeah,
depends.
Yeah.
You definitely want me to wank. I could do that. okay, so banker. I'm going to say your banker this week is David Johnson.
Love it.
The reason being that they look like an appalling team, and he's the only good player in my view on
their
team.
That's fair.
Your tanker this week, I'm going for, I'm going to say is Derek Carr. You know, it's Derek Carr. You know, he's
if you saw his interception last night, it was hideous.
Franchise quarterback, no separation. And then my cheeky wanker is going to be Nathan Hines. Because he sat on my bench and he's a rookie and he got picked up a few points actually. I think he got 8 points, so there you go.
Naheem Hines.
Oh, Naheem Hines, whatever.
Nathan.
There we go. We'll change his name to Nathan. So they're my picks. Okay, so it's time to answer all your tweets and questions. Kate says, what is going to be the big upset of week two? So who are we thinking's gonna lose out that shouldn't?
This actually goes along with your banker. I have Carolina over Atlanta. And I know Atlanta lost. I know Carolina won, but you know, I still think that's a nice upset.
Yeah. Okay. JP, do you want to answer that one?
I've got the Jags to beat the Patriots. Does that count?
That's going to count with no Fournette, or with does Fournette play?
I think he's going to play, but I think the Jags are going to get their revenge.
Okay, strong. Charles would be pleased to hear that.
But he wouldn't say that they'd be underdogs.
No, he'd say they're the favourites to win the Super Bowl. Adam says, which players are you looking to trade for in fantasy and which are you looking to trade away? Well, you've kind of given some tips of who we would trade in. Who would you guys be releasing from teams now? Is there anyone that you kind of...
We mentioned him just before. I'd be looking to trade Kenny Stills if I have him.
You'd be getting rid of him because he's had a strong week and it's not going
to continue. He's had a big week on not huge target size. So they're the guys I kind of look for that are kind of blown up but on limited opportunity.
Okay.
The Detroit wide receivers scare the hell out of me. Just like Xavier Rhodes.
Okay.
With Galladay coming into the picture, I don't know if there's enough volume and red zone targets to go around. You know, Golden Tate might get his, but I don't necessarily know that Galladay or Marvin Jones is going to be the guy next week, and we want volume. And if I was to throw one more name into there, controversial, T.Y. Hilton.
Oh.
T.Y. Hilton.
You'd be trading for or away?
Away.
Away.
And the reason being...
Ryan Grant looked good.
I love T.Y. Hilton, but this is effectively the Eagles offense that the Colts are running, and they spread the ball around. T.Y. Hilton's someone who needs volume in order to put up those crazy stats that you're expecting from back in the day when Luck was healthy. And I don't think he's going to get it, and he's never been a touchdown guy.
Okay.
And just quickly, a couple of guys I'd like to trade for.
Yeah.
One of them being Chris Hogan. Had a real down week, but I think, you know, he's gonna have big weeks with Brady as his quarterback. And another one, surprisingly, is Jamal Williams. He didn't have a big game, but he was on the field a lot. And his pass protection of Rodgers in that second half when he was on one leg was amazing. So he's got Rodgers' trust, and that's going to keep him on the field and put him in good opportunities.
Very nice, very nice. Okay, Richard says, do you think the Browns should be happy with a week one tie against the Steelers? Well, you've kind of covered that, but you're fairly positive, I think. In going into the game, you'd have taken it, but maybe after it, you feel like it should have been a win.
They should have won. They shouldn't be happy with it. In a game they tried to make impossible to tie, the Browns have done it.
It's overtime, and he's setting up for that kick, and nobody in the stadium thinks he's going to hit it. Like, who watched that game was like, this is going to be a thing.
Nailed
Everyone
it.
Knew he was going to miss that field goal. Poor Browns.
They should have won.
I'm excited to see the rest of the season for the Browns, though. I think
it's exciting. Myles Garrett looked great. Denzel Ward. Rookie cornerback was taken fourth overall.
Yeah.
He only ever had two interceptions his whole college career, and he had two on his first ever NFL game.
How does he get into an NFL team with only two interceptions as a cornerback?
Good coverage, mate. Good coverage, mate.
And finally, Brian, will Greeny be following the NFL whilst in Oz? How does he intend on doing this? Brian, of course, being Greeny's dad.
That's a follow-up from last week's question.
Yeah, what is Greeny doing going out to Oz is Brian's real question. But his question is, will he be following it? How does he intend on doing this? Well, Greeny's not going to be able to watch Red Zone because it's only like 3 a.m. his time. But I think that his plan is that he's trying to cover that by saying, I can watch all the big games, the Thursday night games and the Monday night games. But really, I think he's going to be sad. But I'm sure he'll be keeping up to date. Although having lost tragically in Fantasy Week 1, it's probably curtains for him in NFL. He'll be following Aussie rules. Anyway, slightly shorter episode from us. I need to dash. These guys could sit and ramble if there's anything more to say. But I think we've kind of covered literally everything in the NFL.
Yeah, we're good.
Cool. Okay, well, as ever, you can tweet us at Brits_endzone or email us britsendzone@gmail.com.
You enjoyed that emoji tweet the other day, Adam.
The emoji tweet. Oh, yeah. Who did that? Was that you?
That
very
was me.
Strong emoji game. Yeah, I like that. Cool. I'm guessing, Chot, there's no question from JDM. I don't even have headphones, so I can't even hear you.
No question.
Best just to leave it, really. End on a high of last week. Cool. Thanks very much for listening. I can't hear what you're saying.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. All right. Bye.